Welcome to the Image Review Show. This week we're covering Gunslinger Spawn number 2 and Radiant Black number 10. This week, you're never going to believe it. It's me, the King Spawn, Kale King. Kale.
The Kale Spawn.
Nice.
This week I'm hosting the review shows and I'm joined by Pete.
Yo.
And Marco.
And my name is somewhat Spawn related. It's actually called Spunk, his sidekick.
Oh, it's like a skunk covered by a spawn.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Spunk.
Marco just, he just shoots, you know, his symbiote out of his skunk butt. He's got a special gland for it.
Thank God that's where that comes from. Every week, Image Comics provides us with review copies. Probably not anymore. Of the comics they put out. A huge thank you to Image. If you've left us a comment on our previous review episodes or even this one, you can hear our responses on the main show that comes out every Monday, The Comics Pals. That's us. If you like this show, you'll probably be into that one. The Comics Pals is a trending news show focusing on all of your favorite comics and characters across the comic book medium. So let's get into Gunslinger Spawn number 2. Written by Todd McFarlane, with art by Brett Booth, pencils, I guess I should say, inks by Adelso Corona, colors by Andrew Dollhouse, and lettering by Tom Orzechowski.
All right, so I'm going to come out the gate on this one, and I'm going to focus on the positive for a change.
Right. Okay.
Because I feel like every one of these Spawn reviews, I've come in, I've been negative, I've tried to like it, and I just don't. So rather than focusing on what I didn't like, I'm going to focus on what I did like. And that
Spawn's
is
hat.
Yes. And just in general, the art. You know, I think we always end up backing into that point after we talk about the problems with these books. So I'm going to start there. The art in this book is cool, and I feel like Gunslinger Spawn as a character visually, and his whole gimmick of that, like, he's just strapped to the nines with all these weapons covered in his magic blood, cool enough. You know, it leads to some very, very tight, fun action. There's some badass moments for sure. Him tearing wings off angels and stuff, all,
hell,
you know,
yeah.
If you're up for an action-packed Spawn story, like, this one, I think at the very least I can give that, right? Where, like, I complained about some of the action or lack thereof in some of the other Spawn books that we've read, but this one is basically just a fight scene. And it's like, all right, like, that's better.
It's better, and I think, you know, the bubbles and the panels don't, the captions don't get in the way. I don't think that it's compared to mainline Spawn. You know, I can actually see the art, which is a good thing. And yeah, agreed that, you know, it's just an action scene. This is a beat 'em up issue. And I think that from an art perspective, it really excels from that. The art feels like Brett Booth was on that one offhand X-Men issue.
17, yeah.
Yep.
I remember liking that a lot. And so seeing him here again, it felt like a mix of it, very stylistic, right? Very, very 90s action. Mm-hmm. Pete, you said compressed. And I think that's a good word because everything is super tight. Maybe you said tight. I don't know. It was one of those. But like all the panelings, all the shots, they're really really focused in on specific instances. There's like no wide shots except for maybe these like one page, and even then they're very light, they're like larger panels. But otherwise it's super quick, tight snapshots of all the action. And Booth looks like he feels like a combination of let me know if you guys see this, but like Capullo and Gary Frank, who's doing Geiger right now.
I do not see that. No, sir.
I I don't see that, but I feel like I kind of get what you mean in terms of that. I feel like there are elements of his style that share things in common with both of them in different ways, but yeah. I wouldn't have necessarily made that comparison myself.
Mm. Yeah, to me, it's a bit more of like a more kinetic Tony Daniel, maybe.
Okay.
Okay. Like one thing about Brett Booth, he does a lot of, he did a lot of Flash. Did a lot with like Kid Flash in the Teen Titans, and then I think he did Red Hood and the Outlaws for a while. But he did Teen Titans and then Titans when they came back after Rebirth. And in both of those, there is a Flash that runs around and is always moving. And I think that's the thing that I really like about Brett Booth's art, is that it feels like there's motion inside of it somehow.
Yeah, and I guess to the... I'm laughing because I'm about to say to the credit of the script. It's this issue lends itself to that style because it is like like the pacing of the issue is very quick. You know, like the first panel is a knife mid stab, right? So like we join us already in progress, you know? And from that, like it just keeps moving, right? And like by the end of it, we're on the road, you know, and it's like we're already moving in another direction. And again, like that's something that feels better pacing wise than I think some of the other Spawn stories that we've been reading, where like, you know, I think it was the last King Spawn review where we talked about like it really kind of feels like it's spinning its tires a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is at least, it has a goal, right? Like, it's clear, like, okay, like, this is what Gunslinger Spawn is, a fish out of water character. He wants to go back. He wants to figure out what's happening so that he can get back in time and go back to what he was doing originally, which was, you know, going on this journey to avenge his sister, right? And then now he finds himself in the future. The same family is still mucking shit up, so he's here to solve a problem and get back on the road, right? Like, that's kind of what we're dealing with. And, you know, it's a low bar, I guess, considering I haven't really enjoyed the other Spawn books, but this is definitely the one that I feel like is the easiest to pick up and read and actually get something out of, even though I certainly, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm a fan of it, you know, mm-hmm. but, like, it works for me a lot better than the other stuff that we've been reading. So I want to at least give it credit where credit's due for that sake, you know? I think if you want, like, a fun, you know, like, action-y kind of book like Spawn, I'd recommend this over the other ones, you know, unless you're already steeped in that lore and are already a Spawn fan, you know?
You telling me this 3-page toilet gag didn't do anything for you?
I'll tell you what, it didn't, but the drawing of Spawn, Gunslinger, where he's like, the city collects people's shit, that's what your government does, like the face he's making while he says that, I think is very funny. Like, just the like shock under the mask, you know, is like, it's a funny drawing for sure.
Yeah,
and then him just sitting there, and he's just like, like trying to figure it out, like
really, really deep in thought.
Yeah, like really looking like he's contemplating something again. And the last page where the caption is "flush."
Yeah,
I audibly groaned
over the his dad's grave or whatever.
Yeah, I went ugh, like yeah. Oh come on. So
yeah, I was gonna say it feels very out of left field for a McFarlane thing, but then I was like, I don't know. In the other book, we're seeing him, you know, have children murder each other. So I don't know, not really, I guess.
So a flush joke, yeah, that tracks.
I feel like this book is supposed to be lighter than those books.
Yeah.
Like, it feels jokier, you know? Because, like, even in the last issue, there was a lot more comic relief. Like, I feel like there was the whole thing of him being, like, with the motorcycle, and he's like, I need you to fix this, and he doesn't understand gasoline, and they argue about that. Like, I feel like Todd's wanting to do the fish out of water comedy with him, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, isn't it weird that he's a cowboy? You know, it's like, yeah, kind of.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have the, you know, the Todd McFarlane
captions that give no information.
Well, or the ones that tell exactly what the page, the panel is showing. There was one I was looking at specifically that's like the panel is showing the gunslinger pulling a blade from behind him or whatever, and the caption is he draws a blade. Okay, all right. I don't know.
Yeah, or like this, right? Like, it's when he's threatening the one angel. He rips off the one wing, and then he's like, "You've got 2 seconds to release the boy," right? And then they let him go, and he says, "You can take one of your wounded; the other stays." And then both the captions on this page are, "She lets go," and then they choose. And it's like, I can see that, you know? Yeah. Whereas, like, you know, later on, or maybe it's earlier, I think it is earlier, where it explains, it is later, where it explains about the consequences of removing the wings. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, that added information. But then later on, there's a whole, this thing where it's like, in all the written scriptures throughout time, there are but a few which everyone agrees are true, that both heaven and hell are in complete agreement. One of those truths is about to unfold at the bloodiest hands, or at the bloodied hands of a man possessed. That truth is that there is no greater disgrace, nor any pain higher than the removal of both wings from an angel. And dun, it's just, dun, dun. It's like, I really don't feel like that adds anything. And the drawing of him ripping the wings off is awesome. And it's like, we get it. We get it. It's come across. I don't need this flowery, you know, additive stuff. And like, you know, we've read books where that's great, right? Like, that was something we praised in Swamp Thing, right? Is like, cool. Like, that can be a style. But I just don't feel like, these do much for us, you know? If you need to explain to me the mechanics of something that you don't want to have through chunky-ass dialogue where Gunslinger's like, I know that this is the worst pain in all of the seven realms, like, you know, like some bullshit like that. Sure, right, we don't need that, but I don't need you to tell me how much it hurts. Like, if you're going to explain to me that, yes, the consequences are that they'll go insane and die, it's like, okay, that's probably relevant information. That explains why they're so afraid, right, of this. Okay. But beyond that, it's like, it really takes me out of it.
Yeah.
I find myself, like, gliding over them to see if they have relevant information, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm just kind of like, okay.
This one, like you were saying, they were admittedly easier to get through.
There's less of them too. Yeah, it feels like, anyway. So maybe it's just because the pacing of the issue's better, but
yeah
McFarlane must have been busy because he didn't write too much.
All right, so this is y'all's issue of the week, right?
No.
What do you mean?
I would say, I don't know, like, again, with the caveat that I offered, if you are in the mood for, like, an edgy, you know, romp action story with poop jokes, then by all means, this might be for you. But yeah, for me, like, if my tastes, skip it.
It's better.
It is better.
I'll give it that. It's better.
Radiant Black number 10.
Speaking of better.
Written by Kyle Higgins, art by Marcelo Costa, colors by Igor Monti, and letters by Becca Carey. Pete shouted out this on Monday's show as his Pals Poll for the week. So let's find out if it lived up to it. We also had a little discussion about how the guys saw this at New York Comic Con from Kyle Higgins. So if you want to hear all that, go listen to the Powell's Post section of the main show. We do have that sectioned off with time codes and stuff, so you can go right to it.
So this is the rescue of Nathan issue, or we're trying to rescue Nathan. I remember how hyped we were at New York Comic Con to like see it, because it's a visual, ride.
Dare I say, feast.
Yes.
Yeah. It's absolutely.
It's incredible.
There's some wild fucking pages in this thing.
The concepts, the way that they break out the different art styles. Like, there's just so much in here. But I'm feeling, now that we're seeing it with the actual like lettering on, a bit of confusion as to what the end goal for the Radiant Black suit is. Like, is it gonna stay here, or is it gonna go back to Nathan? Like, what is the conflict there? Because, yeah,
I'm getting the vibe that he's gonna retain black, and that Nathan's gonna become a different Radiant.
Oh, interesting.
That's my read on it. And I also get the vibe that homeboy who helps him out in the beginning, who they fought before, is gonna be, that he's gonna have a face turn. I feel like he might end up being their friend later.
Okay, I can see that.
Begrudging ally.
Yeah, or like, you know, like, was it the Green Ranger, right, was like that, where he was a bad guy, and then he becomes part of the squad?
To a degree, yeah.
Right, like, I feel like it might be a similar kind of trajectory for that character. Because, like, he was hostile in the beginning for, like, a second, and then they're working together, like, fairly shortly after. And I feel like it's more that they don't understand what his motivations are than that his motivations are like diametrically opposed to theirs in some way. Because if his whole goal is to defend the Radiant, then like, okay, then maybe we team up, you know? Like,
then cool, we're on the same side.
And I make you stronger because I'm like a battery for your powers. Like, that's also a pretty good reason to be buddies. So I feel like they will probably unite in an enemy of my enemy is my friend type of way, and then he becomes part of the squad. That's the theory I'm operating on right now. And I feel like that Nathan's gonna end up picking up like a different mantle. Like, maybe he becomes Radiant White, you know. We saw him in that other garb in that future version, and I'm wondering if maybe that was a peek at
that was this. Just the caped version of
a black. Oh yeah, you're right, it did have the cape. That's interesting.
So the cover to the next issue has both of them hopping out. One looks like our Radiant Black, and then the other one is a slightly off colored purple.
See, I thought it looked like red.
But it looks like they're like, yeah, I don't know, maybe it's just me reading into that, because it looks like they're like running really fast.
Yeah.
And her powers are not that. She's strong. But like, isn't one of them super speed?
No, one of them is like the teleport. Yellow is teleport.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So maybe.
No, pink is teleport.
Pink is teleport. Oh, so maybe that's pink, actually. Oh, maybe that's just pink. Never mind. I take that back.
It could be. I don't know. I don't know.
What did you.
Sorry, go ahead.
What did you think
of the issue?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, I definitely get where Marco's coming from in terms of like being confused and having questions, but I feel like that's a good thing for this book with where we're at, because we have a lot of pieces, and for a long time we've just been like, I don't really kind of know where this is going or like what's going on. But I feel like now I'm like, we're getting more and more of like the mythos and the broader mythology of what's happening. And it feels like it's giving me things to, like I have theories, right? And I have questions about what's going on, but, like, I can hazard guesses about what direction we're going in. So I don't know. Like, I feel like there's layers here that are interesting enough that like are like keeping me on the hook and making me want to like dig a little bit deeper into like what the broader, you know, context of what we've seen so far is, you know, because it's like things are continuing to click into place more and more, right? Like as we learn more. So I feel like the work that I'm putting in now is like, is it feels like it's driving towards something, you know, and I'm interested to see what that is. But I think even if like that wasn't the case, the art in this issue, I think, is enough to make it interesting to read, because it's just so fucking visually dynamic, you know. Like Marco said, there's a lot of experimentation with different styles, and I feel like that is really, really cool, and it's a really fun way to explore this kind of topic, right? Where like we're going to this like, you know, kind of alternate reality, cosmic energy type space, and representing that in these like different art styles with these really bold colors, like particularly where we get to the page where they're talking about like the existence, the light of existence, like shining on him, and there's like he has like the pink asset, like he has like the pink highlights, but, like almost everything else on the page is like yellow or orange with rare exception. Like there's some really, really crazy pages, just, you know, I guess to borrow from Kale again, to call it a visual feast, I think is definitely fair to say. And I, for that alone, I think it's worth picking up just to check out, you know?
Yeah, I want to pick this up in physical just for like that blacklight stuff, because I think part of the promotion is he's going to be also having... he's going to be giving out the actual, like actual branded black lights, like from like little flashlight what? Situations. So the one thing I wanted to call out was I thought it was interesting that all of the colors that we're playing with are technically colors that we're seeing the individual radiance for. So we have radiant red, we have radiant yellow, we have radiant pink, we have radiant black, blue. We don't have an orange yet. And I wonder,
don't have a blue yet.
Oh, you're right. We don't have a blue. So I'm wondering if we're getting like a blue or orange, because, or it could just be that, you know, because it, these are the fluorescent colors that they used. And maybe I'm reading into that, but the
could be
all of that basis is there. Like the blacks, the black is there against the pink, against the yellow.
I also wanted to shout out the lettering. I really like the lettering in this issue. So far, it's mostly just been like we've had the standard color characters like have, you know, your regular black and white bubbles and the weird, like, I don't know, the who I assume will eventually be our Zordon type character, right? Like the radiant force guy.
Giant thing.
Yeah, he talks in blue. But I liked how as they were going through the different kind of like layers of, oh, and I guess we had the glitch too. The glitch speech for
oh, that's right,
the bad guy who helped him out this issue. I forget, I don't know that we know his name. But like seeing as they were kind of going deeper, they had like, you know, the like, I don't know, the avatar of existence, I guess, the guy who looked like Nathan. Like talking with the black and the pinks, and then as they're getting deeper, it's like they have all yellow text when they get to that very flat page, and then like it continues to change as they move, right? And then like when he gets his cape back, it goes to the black on the blue on black again, and it's just like it's cool to see how some of those things, like, or there's the page again where he jumps to the next level and it's like he's pant, okay, you're okay, just keep going, and it goes from the yellow to the orange, and then the next one it's orange to pink, and like just those like subtle little things I feel like were really, really cool choices. Like they're not like super, you know, insane choices, but they're choices that I feel like make the very visually distinct nature of this book, of this issue, heightened, you know, in a cool way.
It accentuates all that stuff.
I would be willing to bet they mean something too.
Yeah.
The different colors, especially in the dialogue. Because, you know, we see, you mentioned it before, we see, what's his name? Not Nathan, but the other one. Radiant Black. Marcus?
Marshall.
Marshall. We see him turn from yellow to pink. And the lettering of the conversation between Marshall and the pink lettering is my understanding of that is that it's a conversation with existence and thereby truth.
Right. And when he accepts the truth, he turns pink.
Pink. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's gotta mean something.
Yeah.
I mean, it could even just mean what we just said, that it's him accepting the truth. But the fact that there's that interplay between the script and the dialogue and the art and the lettering is really cool. You know, like it would have been easy to not do that. And it, you know, the effort that was put in to make this issue feel not just distinct from the rest of the series, but like this issue doesn't look like any other book on the shelves. Right? Like, that's
no
really cool.
By no means.
That's really cool. That's an achievement in and of itself.
Mm. I frankly would have liked less writing. I think especially in the beginning, and some of the more esoteric bits, save like the actual conversations where he's speaking with Nathan or existence or whatever. I think it could have used a lot less dialogue.
I definitely felt that at times.
To just sit with the art. Because I feel like the way this book is moving, this issue in particular, the way this issue moves has to be so quick. He's constantly on the run from whatever's going on, and he has a time limit. Like, he's trying to beat Nathan's death. So why are we having a, you know, 40 balloon, you know, dialogue in the middle of all this? Like, it just, I don't know, it took me out when I could have been looking at stuff.
I think they're
feeling it.
There are moments where that could have been spaced out better. Because to your point, right, like in the action sequences, I would have loved to have just stayed and, you know, captured. There's that one page where it's all like the text boxes intercut, but then right above that is this huge explosion of just color. Like, those are cool moments, and I would have liked to continue to have those experiences. But then there are others where, you know, there's barely anything really on the page. I think when it's just Marshall and Nathan talking, that's a good use of the negative space, because it's just them and the outlines, and we can have that communication there. But the moments with those action sequence are where the panels are split up by like the radiant power, I guess. Those I feel like could have been, the art didn't get in, the bubbles didn't get in the way. But I think, to your point, like, we could have stuck just looking at those scenes.
Well, and I think it sort of confuses the direction, too, to a certain extent.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like you could probably get rid of half of them on that page specifically and still get the information that you need from their exchange and let the art breathe a little bit more.
Hey, Ash, so, yeah, fair play. Got his cape back. Super needed that one. I don't know. I'm being a bit of an asshole about that.
See, but that I think is like, that is probably one of the ones I would keep, because again, like, I'm thinking of like, it's not a piece of dialogue that's like super valuable, but it's something that like makes sense in the context of that character. And like, he's very much like, I'm a superhero, and like, that's what this is, right? Like, he's playing into the idea of like, you know, the idea of him like jumping into a fight and saying something that's like kind of a half corny superhero quip is like, yeah, that's fine enough. Like, you know,
I think it hits me as too comic book.
And I think I get that, but I think for me it doesn't come off as weird because of how much he's talked about that as a thing. And to have that having like the idea of what we think of comic book superheroes in his mind as he's acting. You know what I mean? It feels in line for the character for me enough.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
But like I do feel like I don't disagree with like your overall point, because like the next two panels there, he stands before you in the Stellar, then let's get direct. Like, I don't feel like we need that, right? I don't feel like you need to explain to me that he's putting you through a portal behind him or whatever. Like, you know, I feel like that stuff, you could probably let the art speak for itself a little bit, but there are also some readers who might walk through that and then just be like, what the fuck happened? You know? So I don't know. Sure.
I mean, I don't feel like I got a ton from the little bit of dialogue either.
It's kind of explaining the mechanics of what's happening in a way that's like,
I guess.
You know, I don't know that you need that.
So I don't know. By proxy, this is the book of the week. Cause it, I mean, like it or not, it's better than Spawn.
For me, this is definitely my pick of the week. Like I really like this issue. I feel like this issue like is worth it for art alone. Cause it's like, it's definitely a very unique thing. Like I don't think this as a thing has ever been done in comics before. Like an entire blacklight friendly issue of a book.
Not mainstream comics. I would be very surprised to learn it hasn't in like underground circles.
Maybe, but even so, it might be prohibitively expensive to do it in the way that this was done, where it's like, I'm sure that there are comics that have used blacklight, but the fact that the entire thing is done so that every page is basically a fucking blacklight poster is wild, you know? So I think this book, this issue specifically, I think deserves a lot of praise from an artistic direction, regardless of how you feel about the script or even like Radiant Black and its overarching story as a whole. I think that the art is so impressive here and really cool and really dynamic. I think this is worth picking up for sure. I'd say pull it.
I'm starting to wonder if this series is for me. Maybe it's just not at this point. 10 issues in.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's tough. Marco, pull it. Or bin it.
I'm going to trade wait it. I'd probably wait to see what else happens. Because I think...
With this issue?
With this issue... Well, no, this issue I'm absolutely picking up. But like the rest of the series, I don't know where I'm... Similarly, I don't know where I'm at. I'm in between maybe you and Pete on it.
Sorry. Yeah, I meant what's your take on this issue? Pull it?
Yeah, I'm pulling it.
Sick.
So there we go.
Okay. So that's two pullets.
I think even if you're in the camp of trade weight for this as a book overall, it's probably worth picking up this issue if the art sounds interesting to you.
Yeah.
Because it's so fucking cool.
It's incredible.
It's really good stuff. Amazing work.
All right. That's going to be it for our image reviews. Thank you so much for tuning in to hear what we had to say. A huge thank you again to Image for sending us these books. Make sure you listen in on Thursday to our other review show to hear whatever else we're going to talk about. Give us a like, drop us a comment, review wherever you listen to the show. Make sure you tell all of your friends and enemies about us. It helps us out a lot more than it costs you. On behalf of Pete and Marco, we're the Comics Pals, signing off.
See you next week.